Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for coming back to another edition of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and I'm coming to you on the road for this edition of our holiday 4th of July special. So the sound probably sounds a little bit different. I did not bring my high-quality microphone. As a result, this podcast will have a slightly deficient sound quality to it. I apologize if it's too disruptive, but I did want to put out a recording because the last time, a couple weeks ago, I did not put out a recording, and I heard from a number of you that said, hey man, I had to actually read this week, dude. So don't do that again. So in an effort to satisfy all comers, I am doing this even with a diminished quality that you are so used to having. Okay, so it is the 4th of July weekend. I hope you're having a great weekend. I hope you're celebrating your independence. I hope we're going to talk a little bit more about what freedom is today. In fact, that is the topic today. It's called What is Freedom? And I want you to pay attention because I have a nuance in here that I hope will really encourage you. And I have a test at the end that will show you and prove to you that what I'm saying actually is not just a spiritual dynamic that we can quarantine to the personal preferences library of our minds, where it has very little impact on the world. But what I'm about to say to you actually is the driving force for the transformation of a better world. And it's that big. And yet it's that small. Okay? Does that sound interesting? Let's dive right in. You know, the question here is, what is freedom? What is freedom? And everybody has his or her idea about freedom. You see, we each possess a unique and very personal notion of freedom. It might be something that we have or something that we yearn to have. But whatever it is, we have an idea about freedom. Now, when people align with each other over their ideas about freedom, this creates tribes, it creates teams, it creates groups or communities. Did you realize that? Freedom is that powerful. Freedom is the binding force. So if one group of people says, our civil rights freedoms are equally important to each of us, then that group of people combine and it creates community based on the desire for freedom, right? And that's how communities are formed. Community, you know, in the church world today, community groups are the kind of church growth paradigm where they just kind of force people to get groups of 10 or 20, and they try and shrink the church into small communities in order to grow it. But community is actually a byproduct. It is not an end product. It is not a department of a church structure or any other structure. Community is the byproduct of people walking in the same direction. So when people have the same shared need or they suffer the same oppression, the byproduct is always community. And that is how it relates to freedom. Now, we are in the midst of a political environment right now. I mean, it is an election year, and the candidates are horrible. And I'm sorry if you like one or both. They're just horrible on both sides, and you're not getting anything better with either one. So I can just tell you now, I am not a fan of the political process. I've been an independent for many, many years. I do not tote any party line, and I won't. And therefore, I feel like this is a big joke, and it always saddens me to see such polarization in our world. But I mean, what else could we do, right? Our world just gets more and more polarized because people defend more and more strongly their political beliefs as if those are the only right way to see things. But our political landscape uses freedom to promote its party's agenda, both sides, right? But ultimately, the agenda is motivated by some form of freedom. Both sides are fighting for freedom. Now, that's kind of ironic, but it's so true. The fighting is always about freedom. Financial freedom, national or sovereign freedom, the freedom of a nation's people to pursue their hopes and dreams with minimal limitations, inner freedom, religious freedom, civil rights freedoms. You see, the freedom to live in peace, the freedom to not live under a threat of tyranny or oppression. Freedom is directly related to the collective, meaning freedom has to do with the group. Freedom is a personal thing, it's also a corporate thing, and therefore, freedom is always directly related to government. Whether it's a organized government, or whether it's a small, localized government, it's always related to the government. Freedom and government are two sides of the same coin, or two aspects of the same larger dynamic. Now, each example that I gave, all those examples of freedom, they represent a form of freedom. And yet freedom stretches beyond any one of them. So while I might focus on civil rights freedoms, or I might focus on religious freedom, I am talking about an aspect of freedom, but not the entire corpus of freedom. And this is where some of the confusion gets in, because we each want a particular form of freedom, but we don't necessarily all want the same form of freedom, right? And this is proven whenever you see people obtain one form of freedom, then they are often, okay, I'm free in this area, but now I'm not free over here, and I need to go and seek freedom in this other particular area. Let me give you an example. Think of the professional, the business person, the lawyer, the doctor, the striver, the entrepreneur, right? They have sought out personal freedom, maybe financial freedom. And now that they have it, they're seeking freedom in their time, right? We see the successful person who's now has no money problems, but they have a time problem. Their time is completely consumed. What about the freedom from people, refugees, leaving a war zone, you know, leaving oppression? And in civil rights movements, right? These are people seeking freedoms. And that gives rise to the freedom of expression. So now they're free to live without the fear of war, but now they seek a freedom for greater forms of expression. In fact, America was formed on religious freedom. We came over from England under certain tyrannies and limitations and said, no, we want to have free religious freedom. And today, people come from all over the world seeking religious freedom from the tyranny of their religious systems that want to control their religious freedom. They want to dictate how people live. They want to scare them with their fear tactics and control them. It also happens in institutional freedoms, right? So this is hopefully helping you to kind of deconstruct freedom and kind of make a little sense out of all of this framework in which we come from. Now, freedom, though, isn't just some external thing that we hope to get as a community or as an individual. It's actually the cry of the human soul. Freedom, you know, starts out when we're toddlers. You know, if you've ever been around a little two-year-old, they want what they want, and they want it now. It starts much younger, but you really start to see it when they become toddlers. You tell them, no, you can't play with my car keys, and they want those car keys, and they're not going to be happy unless they have it. They want the freedom to play with the car keys. Now, this is actually a pretty good thing. For instance, our national freedom is really based on the ability to want and pursue what makes us happy. And that's pretty good. Think about it. To want and pursue what makes you happy. It recognizes there's a diversity of freedom and choice here. But what we see, what we experience, is the problem that is found in the execution, because we all want to pursue something different. There's religious and institutional freedoms, and those almost always try to control personal freedoms. I mean, think about it. What church or religious system or institution hasn't tried to control your personal freedom? They use fear. They use guilt. They use shame. They don't want you to act out how you want to act out. And there's good reason for that. This is not a jab at that. This is actually a reality, though. When a mom tells a toddler, you're not playing with that hot stove, it's not because mom is oppressive. It's because mom loves. And so religious freedoms, sometimes out of love, need to or desire to control personal freedoms. But this is just what happens. Corporate freedoms, they impact the freedom of societies. Right now, corporations who have the freedom to, you know, lobby, get to push things on society that society may not want. The GMO is a perfect example right now. Right? Genetically modified foods are put into our food system since 1996, and as a result, countless health issues have arisen. And study after study after study has been proven to show that these things are harmful. And yet, the corporate freedom impacts our freedom. We're not free to choose if we don't have a label that says this was made with genetically modified food, right? Governmental freedom always has the power to diminish or enlarge the freedoms of people. You see corrupt governments all over the world. You know, North Korea does not give freedom to its people. It controls whatever freedoms it has, maybe it the internet or the free press or whatever else. So the government impacts and diminishes freedoms. This is the climate of freedom that frustrates us so much. This is the volatile environment that we find ourselves in, and we get sucked into it. But I want us to talk about this so we understand what is freedom. And summing up, we all innately desire aspects of freedom. We all do. It's the cry of the human soul, like I said. We all possess some bits of freedom while we lack other bits of freedom. And if we don't get the freedom we want, then the experience that we're having is known as oppression. You see, it is oppression. And this is key, you see, because we like to talk about pursuing freedom. But the reality is, we're not pursuing freedom as much as we're fleeing oppression or perceived oppression. And let's get it straight. Some oppression is far more dire than other oppression. I mean, a teenager who doesn't have an iPhone 6 might feel as though they are being oppressed by their parents. But that is not the same as a refugee being oppressed by a harmful, evil dictatorship or a corrupt form of vigilante justice, right? There is not vigilante justice, just a form corrupt of people controlling things. There's oppression and then there's perceived oppression. But it's nonetheless, the teenager is still experiencing a diminishment of freedom that they were hoping to have. Okay, now, this becomes important. You see, it becomes the negation of life. It's not that we're striving for something. We're actually striving against. We're playing defense. We're not playing to win. We're playing not to lose. And that's the negation of life. And as a result, most people see the avoidance of suffering
and making the world a better place as two separate endeavors. There's a split. You need to identify this split in your own mind to truly understand what freedom is. The avoidance of suffering and making the world a better place are the same endeavor, but most people see them as two different things. And as a result, most people kind of squander their freedom on themselves. They basically plunder the world rather than transform the world. They're here to see what they can get out of it rather than see what they can put into it. Those are two different kinds of life. One is offensive and proactive. The other is defensive and it plunders. It's reactive. All right? Now, this is the negation of life, and it's the base, it's the lowest form of existence, and we just call it survival. When you're there to just plunder, you're there just to survive. I mean, if you're out in the wilderness and you just see some berries, you're not there to try and plant more berries so that you can have a sustainable source of food. You're there to take the berries and eat them because they're immediate and you need them. That's the basis, the most base form of existence. And it's known as survival. And we have a lot of people who are actually living in survival mode. It's amazing when your eyes have the lenses to see just how many people are actually functioning in survival mode and how many people actually want to perpetrate and promote survival mode when they don't need to. So that's something else for you to think about, but that's another show altogether. Only a very few percentage are fortunate enough to possess a level of freedom beyond just existence or survival. Now, to pursue ideals indicates that a person has experienced some measure of inner freedom. And this is something that we need to take into consideration. Those without external freedoms are often the first to develop inner freedom. It's the path of all deep spirituality. So those under the greatest suffering and the greatest oppression ironically develop tremendous inner freedoms. If that oppression does not destroy you, it creates something amazing within you. And you know that's true. This is why the young rich leader in the story of in Luke 18 is so disheartened after meeting Jesus. He went away sad. He started coming up saying, "Hey man, what do I got to do to win favor here, to win at this game?" And he just says, "Hey," Jesus says, "sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you're a winner." And the guy hung his head and went away sad. And that's because power, be it freedom, personal, economic, social, racial power, it corrupts us if we do not have this internal freedom. If as a counterbalance, we have to have something to counterbalance this external force. So freedom then is something that we can possess, but for most of us, it's narrowly missed. I mean, we just miss it, just slightly. And that's because we mistakenly get entangled in the scrimmages for freedom, because we have been converted to this idea that we have to fight for or defend our freedom. So we get sucked into the fight. And believe me, the system wants you sucked into the fight. Politics right now wants you to pick a side. As soon as you pick a side, the game is over. You are part of the system. It's just roll tape, right? Because as soon as you take a team, by default, you assume the other team is wrong or deficient, and you assume a posture of correctness and superiority. Of course, the other team's doing the same to you, and therefore you just start fighting. "Oh, they're so stupid. Oh, they're so stupid." Neither is so stupid. They're just missing it. We just miss it because we get sucked in to the fight because we're converted. We're converted to this idea that we have to fight or defend freedom. Now, if life is a zero-sum game, meaning there's only so much to go around, if there's only so much freedom, and those people, those gun lobbyists, those gay people, those political people, the Democrats, the Republicans, insert whatever you want right there. If those people are trying to take your freedoms, and then life is a zero-sum game in your worldview. And if it is, then I'm sorry, war is all you get. That's all you get. But there's another worldview out there. There is an alternative, which I believe is actually true. And if you can see it, which I hope you will by the end of this podcast, life becomes very different. You see, if life and freedom are actually generative and expansive, you know what that term means? Like an apple produces many seeds that go into the ground, that plants many trees, that produces many apples. So out of one apple, many, many apples. It's generative. It's expansive. Out of two people, many peoples come, right? Our population is exploding because we're in a generative place. We're not in a zero-sum game where we're losing. We're in an expansive paradigm where we're gaining. And if you get to that place, then all you have to do for freedom is live it out and live out the course of expansion. In fact, living it out is the course of expansion. You see, wisdom tells us that foregoing a measure of personal freedom actually enlarges our capacity for greater freedom. It's 180 degrees from this idea that if you want freedom, you have to fight for it, right? This is the golden rule. This is what every world religion teaches. This is what Jesus taught. He said, you know, that if you give a little, you enlarge your capacity for greater, right? That gaining comes from the giving process, not from the hoarding and defending and fighting process. And that is a vital paradigm shift. But every single parent who's out there knows this to be true. That when you forego a measure of your personal freedom, which is, I can't go out at night, I can't work when I want, I can't do the things I want, I can't clean the house how I want because now I have this child that requires my sacrificial giving up of my freedom. But as you do so, it actually enlarges your capacity for freedom. Now you don't just have your freedom to enjoy, you get to enjoy the freedom of your child as well. It's generative, it's expansive. Right? And this is just one example of how the world is created in this amazing way. Freedom potentiates, it expands at greater and greater levels through sacrifice, and it shrinks through selfishness. Thus, the only fight for freedom is the one within each one of us. And whether or not we will sacrificially extend freedom to another. So if you want a free world, give the freedom to the other. Give the freedom to the other, because what you would do for them is what will happen to you. Do you see? Whatsoever you would want someone to do for you, do it for them. If you truly want freedom, give it away. Empower others. Promote others. Put them there because they are not others. They're actually you. They're just like you. And so here's the test. Let's test it. Next time you get in your car, are you going to extend freedom to the merging car in your lane? Are you going to just wave them in with a smile and invite them to come in? Or are you going to close the gap? Put your foot down, don't let them in, and defend your right to freely be in front of them, right? Because that is not just a driving habit. That is an expression of your heart and my heart. This is actually getting at this. Getting in your car will actually allow you to access this on a heart level. And if you don't access it there, you will completely miss freedom. Like so many people in the world do, right? When you want to defend your lane, right? And I do this too, I know it happens, but when you want to defend your lane, you see the other driver as an other than, a less than, an idiot, a jerk who's going to take your freedom. And this is a microcosm of the exact problem that's in the world today. Giving up a car length, which seems so trivial, takes so much more than you actually think, because inner freedom is not that easy. And it requires us to see others as ourselves. And here we are back at the golden rule again. The moment, however, that we do this, the moment we're free to say, you know what, I totally need to cut in from time to time, and I've done it, and people have let me in, and I certainly appreciate it, and you know what, I'm going to do it and let these people in as well. It's the moment you do this, you adopt a generative, expansive, free heart, and you live it. And the moment you live it, you change the world. That person who just cut in now lives in gratitude, now has a moment of relief, and you gave it to them. And you now are not held captive by that stony, cold, constrictive heart that was forced to do that. And if we can change the way we drive by accessing our heart, it's not really about driving. Let's just get that clear. This is not about driving changes the world. This is about accessing things on a heart level, getting to that spiritual place of actually giving away freedom to others. That is what changes the world. Not war. You don't have to fight for it. You got to give it away. You have to open your hand so that you can actually receive it. If you hold on with a clenched fist, you're going to miss freedom every single time. You see, freedom starts within. And it starts within each one of us.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.